Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You know you could use a vacation right now, so consider Little Rock for your first trip of 2021. With 6 stops on the U.S. Civil Rights Trail and dozens of Black-owned businesses and restaurants just waiting to serve you, it's the kind of place where Black History Month is celebrated all year long. So if you're big on Black culture, you're going to be big on Little Rock. Plan your visit today safely at littlerock.com.
It's a new year, and it's time for new possibilities. And do we ever need them? Cricket Wireless can help make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. She makes me feel all right. She makes my heart sing. And when I'm feeling low, she comes as no surprise, turns me on with her love, takes me to paradise. Do you love me, Mary Jane? Oh, do it.
Oh my gosh.
Don't you want to take it away, sis?
I think that you have done a sufficient job. I do believe that you have covered all the bases, man.
I got in trouble in school for writing that on the board. Yeah, man.
Of course you did.
But anyway, praise the Lord, niggas. How are you today?
Praise the Lord, niggas, man. We're doing okay. Everybody's good over here. We're safe, hey. And we have what we need. How are things going over there?
You know, it's been an emotional week, the ups and the downs. But all in all, like you said, we're safe. We have what we need, and I won't complain about it.
For sure. Welcome back to Getting Grown, guys. We're here to commiserate about the worst hood we found ourselves living in. That's adulthood, guys. The good, the bad, the test of trials, the twist of turns, the temptations and the taxes of being a real life adult in the year of our Lord 2021.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. Welcome back to Getting Grown. What's going on in the world, sis?
So many things are going on in the world. I will wait on that. Actually, no, because you may go ahead and do it. I want to shout out Kia. Okay. I wanted to talk about Earl in the Trash, because you all know that he is a staple in our collections over here at Getting Grown, a legend. This was me and Kia's. This was the time that we came up. Okay, this was.
So we came of age during these times.
We'll talk about it a little more, but Kia wrote an amazing article for Business Insider, honey.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Joy Marie McKenzie, friend of the show. Yes, Joy is the entertainment editor over at Insider. And, you know, we got together and worked on this. We just wanted to honor DMX. You know, the world is going to, you know, how things go, right? When someone has struggled with addiction or has had certain kinds of experience and things that they've done and dealt with throughout their lives, folks like to remember them for those things and those things only. But one thing that resonated with me as it relates to DMX was I felt like DMX was a great man of faith. And, you know, in an unconventional way, it was clear that he was unapologetic about his relationship with God. And so I wanted to just do something to honor him in that way. And Joy, Marie gave me the opportunity to do that with Insider. So yeah, it was a joy to write. I felt a lot of pressure because I didn't, you know, I recognized, you know, I know that people are going to have things to say, right? I felt like the church people will have things to say, and even some of the hip hop heads, you know, I don't want to disrespect anybody, right? I just feel like this is the side of DMX that resonated with me and my experience of the world. And he did inspire me by the way that he lived his love for the Lord out loud was something that I had a great deal of respect for. And I always say, I've said here on the show, DMX's prayers reached heaven.
They're heard.
Okay. And
they're
so that, like, we, like, listen, him and the Lord were good, 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 good friends. They spoke on a very regular basis. Mm-hmm. It was clear to me. And so I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to honor his life in this way. So the article is up, man. It's on insider.com. It's on my social media. It's on Insiders. Yes, it's on Insider social media. I would love it if you would take a look at it and you know, let's honor DMX's life and all the great ways that he was a trailblazer. And in the article, I call him a cultural icon and a pioneer of faith. I mean, because what we will never forget is that DMX would pray anywhere.
Baby, DMX
he
prayed
was
at shows
at any time.
DMX will pray at Summer Jam. DMX will pray on Rap City to Basement.
Anywhere.
DMX will literally pray anywhere. And I know we're not in the trash yet, but we might as well just keep going. What I really love about him outside of his prayers, because the thing about it is, okay, do me and Kia pray the same? No. But we both love a good prayer. You see what I'm saying? And if it's sincere,
we do.
And it's vulnerable and it's really coming from the heart, you can appreciate a prayer from anybody, right? You can appreciate one from me. I know a beautiful priestess who says prayers in like a very, because she was raised in a Baptist style church, but she is not of that faith any longer. But that is the style in which she prays. And when I tell you, they are beautiful, sincere, heartfelt, and you can feel them. And so it was the same thing with Earl. It's the same thing with Kia. It's the same thing. If it's sincere and it comes from a place. And one thing we love about DMX over here is also his vulnerability as a human being. You know, with all of the struggles that he's dealt with, that's not what we need to focus on. It was his vulnerability. Those are lessons we can take with us. So
absolutely.
I thought you did a beautiful job. You know, I tried to prepare my mind for it. You know, when we learned everything that had happened with him, falling into the coma and so forth. But you really did a really beautiful job in really highlighting that.
Thank you.
Really and truly. So we'll actually also post that. That'll be on Getting Grown's social media as well. And like Kia said, you can check it out on hers. It's on my stories. It's all over the place. You'll find it. You'll find it. And shout out to Joy Marie, friend to the show. Hey. We love us some Joy.
Yes, friend to the show. Gotta have her back.
I don't actually feel like talking about anything else in the trash. I don't think there was much more notable things. Okay, great. Let's skip this. Let's skip this whole zhuzh and move right on to a shout out.
My sister's popping right now.
So I wanted to make Kia the shout out, but since we already did that.
Oh, no.
We have an email, which is not our standard type of shout out, but I wanted to make sure that this was highlighted because it's important. You know, we had the freezes that happened in Texas a little while back. And, you know, we want to make sure that we are acknowledging what's happening with our brothers and sisters around the globe, right? And in the country. So we got an email from Sunset. Her name is Sunset. And Sunset writes, hey, Jade and Kia, my name is Sunset and I'm writing to you from the currently not so sunny Isle of Barbados. Our neighboring island of St. Vincent is in need of prayers and assistance. La Soufriere volcano, I really hope I said that correctly, erupted in St. Vincent on Friday, April 9th, causing an evacuation. The island is covered in ash and is now currently without electricity and water in many places. The cloud of ash has now also spread to the neighboring islands, including us here in Barbados. None of us know how long this will last. It could be days, weeks, or months. If any of you or your listeners are able to offer assistance to the island of St. Vincent, please do so. I've attached the contact information of people you guys can reach out to, or if you know anyone who is interested in lending a hand, there are people in Miami and New York assisting with the volcano relief drive. Thank you so much for helping to spread the word. Love and light to you both, and also ASAP Noah. So you all already know, you all already know how we feel about the Caribbean. You know what I'm saying, over here. And we want to make sure that we put this out there for information that has not been spread around. We will make sure all of this is in the description box, Volcano Relief Drive. There's some efforts being made in Trinidad and Tobago, St. Lucia, Dominica, Barbados, Toronto, Antigua, Miami, New York, and St. Vincent. So all of that information will be in the description box. And we want to offer our love to the island, but we also want to make sure that if we can make some efforts, we do so. So sending all of our love to our listeners and beyond.
For sure.
In St. Vincent and Barbados. And there's any specific ways in which that we can support outside of what I have here, please don't hesitate to write in and let us know. Sunset, thank you so much for sending this information over as well.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have it monetarily or, you know, in the form of action, because I know we're still living in a panacea, then, you know, say a prayer. Say a prayer for the islands. Do something. Just, you know, offer some love. So that's it. That's all we got for this week. And we also pray for everybody's safety as well.
For sure.
But we do have a rather encouraging kitchen table talk that I think might be able to help kind of clear some people's minds and they might enjoy. So shall we go over there with our special guests?
We shall. Want to say that this was previously recorded, but we are very excited to share that our good sis, the one and only Sarah Jakes Roberts, just will be joining us at the kitchen table today to discuss her brand new book. It's her fifth book called Woman Evolve. It's an awesome story about evolution and growth and just stepping into purpose. And it's based on, you know, it's based on a study of Eve, the Bible character Eve. And it's really interesting, right? Because we always give Eve a bad rap, right? Because she dropped the ball for us, right? But Sarah does a really nice job of adding some context around Eve that really makes Eve relatable to us, because we've all been there and done some things that we know we ain't had no business doing. So,
and it's not a book just for Christians.
Absolutely.
It's not a book where you feel alienated or excluded. So, you know, if you're listening to these like, I don't want to hear all that, don't turn it off.
It's good. It's good. It's more about it. It is spiritual more than it is about any specific religious affiliation. But it's awesome, and I loved it. We had a dope conversation. Sarah's a joy. She shares. We just get to know her. It's not just about the book. We also get to know her as a person, and we had an awesome conversation. So please enjoy Sarah down to the kitchen table, and she will be back. She will be back. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Facts. All right. We'll see you in a bit. Me Undies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. That's why Me Undies sources the softest, most comfortable fabrics imaginable, and their styles are available in sizes extra small to 4XL. Express yourself every day in new limited edition prints. Never run out of undies or worry about skipping laundry again with the MeUndies membership. Each month, replenish your basics and build your collection with styles that are anything but basic. Styles that let you be the truest version of yourself right down to your core. And no pressure, you can always skip a month if you want. Plus, enjoy discounted pricing, controlled shipping, and exclusive early access. Love your butt and get the membership. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. So funny enough, I actually have a MeUndies membership, and that is no cap. I use that correctly, right? No cap. So that's no cap. I have a MeUndies membership, and I get all my draws mailed to me, and I love them. They fit me really well. So you know your girl has a rump roast, right? And I'm always worried about things riding up when I walk, you know, wedgies. So MeUndies is great because they have so many different cuts, and also there's fun prints and all kinds of things. And the membership is great because we're grown, right? We don't need to be running out of draws, and we don't need to have raggedy draws in our drawer either. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/grown. That's MeUndies, MeUndies.com/grown.
This episode is sponsored by SESH. That's SESH. Traditional therapy can be expensive, and to many of us, it's inaccessible. SESH is an app offering a safe space for group support where you can connect with other people, all led by licensed expert therapists. Each SESH is a 60-minute online support group with a maximum of 14 participants, and it's only $60 per month for unlimited group sessions with licensed therapists. There are sessions for everything from living with anxiety or depression, coping with COVID, to body image, postpartum, and much more. SESH also offers community-specific support for Black, Latinx, LGBTQIA+, the AAPI community, and more. That's a cost-effective way to meet your mental health goals. Oprah Magazine named SESH a top virtual mental health resource. It was the most affordable option on the list, and it's recommended by top mental health experts. Each new user receives a free 2-week trial. Take the first step and go to SeshTherapy.com today, or download the SESH app in the App Store today. Again, that's SeshTherapy.com. SESH is mental health care made easy, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
All right. I'm excited. We're at the kitchen table, and we have a very, 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 very special guest. I don't know how many berries that was. I think it was 10. But yes, we have a very special guest. We'd like to welcome to the kitchen table none other than Sarah Jakes Roberts. Everybody say, hey, Sarah.
Hey. Burr, 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 burr. Let me see. How do I do that gospel? How do I do that gospel?
Oh, yes. Put a twist on it. Yes,
let me put it. How do that. I do an organ? Yes.
Oh, no. Please. Okay. That's enough.
Wow.
Oh, Jay, please.
I'm just glad to be in the number, honey. I'm just glad to be at the kitchen table.
We love you here.
We're glad to have you.
To the show.
No. I love you all. I love you all. I have not, just because my life has been swarmed lately, but the Getting Grown podcast is a mainstay in my listens. Like, I have a circuit of podcasts that I listen to that includes Brene Brown stuff, The Read.
Yes.
Like, yes, just I have, but you guys, Getting Grown podcast is in my circle. So thank you guys for letting me be on.
Course, oh my God, course, that is frightening. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, everything's fine. Here we are. I know so much about you. Let's go.
Oh, good.
Basically,
so we're all friends.
Say you a heathen. Yeah, I already knew that girl before I got here. I knew what I was walking into.
No.
Nobody.
Let's talk about why we here, though. Let's talk about why we here.
We're excited. It is launch day for Pastor Sarah. Pastor Sarah is launch. Is this your fifth or sixth
don't,
book?
Okay, like, okay, if I'm gonna be at the kitchen table, you have to call me Sarah. Don't call me Pastor
I will
Sarah.
Call you Sarah.
Okay, okay, this is my fifth book, and I'm super excited. It feels like my first book.
It does?
It does. Why? It feels like my first book because the first time I wrote about my story. And then in the other books, they're technically smaller books. They're like devotionals. And then my second big book, I was in an awkward place in my life. I had just had my daughter. I didn't have childcare, and it's called literally Don't Settle for Safe, Embracing the Uncomfortable. But I feel like this is the first book that I have written with me being like planted in the knowledge of who I'm supposed to be in the earth. So it feels very much so like a coming of age for me.
I'm excited.
I'm super excited to read it.
I'm about halfway through. I started this morning.
Okay, what do you think?
Of course I love it. We want to get to some of the meat of the matter of the book in a minute. But I would just, you know, I really excited. It's, I think it's full circle for me, even though I didn't write anything. But I mean, I was at the first Woman Evolve conference, right? I had the blessing to go to the first Woman Evolve conference. And I was there when you introduced us to this concept. And to our sister Eve that we've, you know, kind of been conditioned to think about in one way, right? And it's the first time you talked about the, you know, the Bruce Hill Society and the wild woman concept. And so to read it now in book form, it's just kind of like, you know, it was just like encouraging to me, right? To just be like, wow, this is something that you've clearly sat with, and you know, it's kind of manifested in so many different ways. So when you first started the Woman Evolve movement, did you always have this moment in mind? Was it always going to be, I'm going to start with this sermon, this concept, and it's kind of like flourished into this whole entire movement? Or is it just kind of like things that have just developed that way?
I feel like they've just developed that way. When I first started speaking, you know, I was telling my story, you know, the whole, I got pregnant at 13, had my son at 14, toxic relationships, the ramming the cars, the strip club. Like I had this story that I would tell. And whenever you start telling stories like that, that are so personal and vulnerable, you get invited a lot of spaces because no one wants to be that transparent. And so I started noticing that I felt like my life was being hijacked for other people's purposes. So it really meant a lot to me that I finally found something as it relates to Eve, that I felt like this is something that I feel like I could build my life on beyond just telling my story. And so we did the conference, we did the tour and podcast. And so when it was time for me to write the book, I knew I wanted to touch on Eve, but I didn't know whether or not I should name it after the movement. But I kind of took like a leap of faith with that. It's kind of like trying to get people to differentiate between the movement versus the book has been a little interesting with press. But I just felt like if you're going to leave something in the earth, what is that one thing you want to leave in the earth? And books are one of those things that just outlive you. And I wanted it to be named Woman Evolve.
That's dope. That is so dope. Did you, so explain to, like, if for someone who's listening to Getting Grown and they want to know like what Woman Evolve is, if you had to explain it in a couple of sentences, how would you explain it?
Okay, Eve is the Woman Evolve is my reconciliation with Eve, because I began to see Eve as not just a woman who messed it up for humanity, not just a woman who I feel like socially and politically is responsible for how women are viewed throughout the world, but rather just a woman who was in a world that was bigger than her, trying to figure out how do I navigate things even when I know better, but don't always do better? And when I took her from this big idea of ruining it all to this person who was very much so human like myself, I dissected parts of her life that I felt like were worthy of every woman knowing, because she does evolve beyond that moment where she eats from the fruit, but we don't tell that part of the story. And if we don't hear her story, then how can we evolve from our own story? So Woman Evolve is not just me rescuing Eve, it's rescuing any woman that's ever felt like her.
Oh, I love that, because my question to you, which I feel like you pretty much just answered, was going to be, how would you speak to a person like me about what Woman Evolve is about, who may not be in a religious space? And I love that you're speaking about this from a human standpoint and from a standpoint that all women can relate to.
Oh my God. First of all, and I'll tell you, because I've been doing a lot of press that isn't necessarily religious, but I think this concept of how women have been viewed throughout society, culture, corporately, it all goes back to this moment in the garden. You don't even have to go to church every Sunday to know that sis dropped the ball. Okay. Like you really had one job and you really messed it up. All right. All right. I just want you to know that on behalf of this, those of us who are left behind. And so I felt like if I could make her human, if I could allow ourselves to see some of us in her, then I wondered how I could also reveal like her restoration and redemption. So I do think that it's a book where you don't have to be like, you know, a Bible thumper. You don't have to be a Christian. You can be like open and trying to figure out or not figure out what's right for you and still draw some wisdom out of the book.
I love that. Ooh, Sarah, you're giving me chills.
No, I think that was one of the things I love about her. Love about you as a friend is I feel like you are an awesome blueprint of like fearless self-acceptance. And I think that
I mean, one of the things that, one of the ways that I relate to you is, you know, we're both PKs, right? And I think we connect on living and trying to figure out who you are when you've been arbitrarily assigned these labels and titles and roles based upon who your parents are, who your grandparents are, what they do. And I've always looked to you as a model for, you know, just being yourself in every space and not like, you know, still blossoming under the shadow. I mean, I don't want to say under the shadow because that sounds negative, but like your dad is a huge force in the whole world, right? I've loved how you have, you know, still maintain your identity as Sarah. And I think I love that you've been so transparent about your journey and not allowed your father's identity to speak for you. I mean, I think you do your hard work out loud. And I think the book demonstrates that, your podcast demonstrates that, and all of the ways that you show up in the world. So like, that's one of the key messages that I'm getting from the book, is it's really about going there with yourself and giving yourself permission to, you know, pull your wig off and wash your face and sit with the reality of who you are. So how has it been for you? I remember we had a conversation with Lovey a couple of weeks ago, and she talks about like how it's interesting people tell her, like, you know, you're dragging me with this book. And it's like, well, I had to drag myself first. do you feel like in writing such, you know, about such vulnerable places in your own life, how have you sort of navigated that space, and what are the implications that has had on your own journey as you continue to evolve?
You know, I do feel like I had to drag myself a bit. I love that. I love Lovey. I love that concept. I will tell you that I had to do my hard work out loud since the moment I had my son. You know, when other people do whatever as teenagers, most of the time they're not, or whenever, they're not necessarily walking around with like the evidence of me doing my work out loud. Like, I had to do it out loud. And so I became comfortable in that space. But I'll tell you, I think writing the book for me allowed me to stop blaming. This is going to be interesting, but we're at the kitchen table, so whatever. To stop acting like things happened in my life on accident. Because a lot of times our lives change and we're like, I don't really know how this happened, or I don't even know why God chose me, or I don't know why this good thing is happening in my life. It just kind of happened. And writing the book allowed me to look back at what was intentional, the intentional decisions that I made that allowed me to come into agreement with what God wanted to do in my life. So there's what God wants to do, but there's still an element of partnership connected to it. And I think I discredited my partnership because I didn't feel worthy until I started writing the book. And when I wrote the book, I started seeing, well, you did actually have to do this, and you did have to do that. And so that was therapeutic for me, because it helped me to stop discrediting, you know, what Woman Evolve has become, and stop feeling like, you know, at any day I could lose it, right? Because whenever you're in a space where you feel like, I don't know how I got here, what you're really saying is, I don't want to trust it because I could lose it at any moment. Absolutely. And doing the work helped me to see that I was involved. I was a part of this. I did play a role. And that's been incredible to experience in writing the book.
Yeah.
What got you started writing it in the first place? Like, what was the catalyst for that?
Girl, writing is my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I love words. I love the way they come together. Like, I see in words. Like, whenever I have a vision for like a video or content where we're producing, like, I just see words. And I didn't even think that was a gift. Like, you know, because no one is necessarily saying when you're younger, at least not when I was growing up, like, oh, you're a great writer, and that's a gift. You just kind of, everyone writes, so who sees that as a gift? But I love words, I really do. As speaking is hard for me, it's like something that I have to work towards, but I love writing. And I stopped writing after my last book. I was like, I'm not going to write again until I have something that I feel like is worth me sitting down, putting 60,000 words on paper, and then doing the pushing connected to it, because I just want to something I believe in, and I didn't want to lose the passion for it.
What's your process?
A writer.
I love it. Writing is, what's your process? What's like, you know, this is a Teen Typing Fast caveat. What's your process? Are you one of those people who sits down and it's like, you know, I'm going to write 4 pages today. Let's get it. Or are you kind of like me? Sometimes you sit down and you look at the cursor and it's just a blinking and, you know, nothing comes out. Or you'll get like, I get rushes, I get urges, like I get a push. And I say, and I don't know, because I'm, you know, right academically, but I because of who I am, I'd be like, oh, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Let me get to my computer. So even if it's at 2 and 3 in the morning. So what's your process like? Like, what is, how does Sarah sit down to write a book when she has a book to write?
You know, I sit down with my laptop. I write from an outline. So I know where I'm headed, and I know what dots I need to connect. And then I say what comes to my head, like whatever comes to my head. A lot of times writing becomes hard for people because they are writing what they want people to read. Mm-hmm. But if you would just write what's in your head, once you get that out of your head, then you can like clean it up and perfect it and tweak it. Don't worry about what people are going to read. But that's for a book. Like I could, writing for me is how I learned to feel. I didn't really know how to feel. I shut down so hard emotionally that the only time I could feel was when I tapped into writing. So it's always been therapeutic for me. And I could like close my eyes and grab my laptop right now and tell you how I feel about this book release faster than I could communicate it to you in this interview.
Wow. How old were you when you started writing?
I mean, 11, 12.
And what did you start with? Oh, go ahead. My bad, boo.
No, I was going to tell you, the first time I ever really got in trouble, this lady was babysitting us, and she jumped flat with me. You know how adults used to try and text you, and they didn't know that you had words back for them? Right, so I went right in my journal to take care of her. She grabbed my journal, which was her bad because it's my personal space.
Right.
And I had taken care of her real good in that journal. Taking care of her real good. And she showed it to my parents. And my parents were like, well, that is her personal space. You can't just, I'm not going to punish her for what she wrote in her personal journal. So that's when I knew the power of words, because she never came at me in such a way again. So
your parents were way more evolved than Rhonda, because I got in trouble. I used to write, you know how it's kind of like in, what was that movie? Mean Girls. We didn't have a burn book.
Yeah, but right.
You know how you and your friends would like write in a notebook. It wasn't like about people or whatever. But one time I had cursed somebody out real good in the book. And I don't know how, but my teacher got a hold of it and sent it to my mother, and Rhonda read all of my colorful language. She was not impressed. She did not see it as my personal space.
And that is why Kia can now to this day cuss somebody out eloquently.
Practice. Come on, practice.
I've been doing it. I'm not new to this. I'm true to it.
I love that.
I love it too.
So what's the first thing you really did, were you getting into poetry? What was it that you really started writing besides your journal?
Poetry.
Okay.
First of all, I love Death Poetry Jam.
Of course.
They need to bring it back. It was iconic. People don't appreciate it, but it was iconic. I'll never forget, this guy got up there and he says, he was quoting his own poem. He's like, I want you to love me the way that I would love me if I were me. And it just hits so hard in my heart, because that's what I want.
Exactly.
And so from there, I was like, I'm going to start writing poems because people aren't treating me well out here. They're not loving me the way that I would love me if I were me. And I felt like that was a problem. And, you know, it's turning the corner. It's turning the corner.
I love to see it. I want to ask Sarah some questions about Sarah. I want our listeners to get to know who Sarah is. So I put together, we do these little Black Girl Card Revolt games. Like kind of like some rapid fire questions. You know, and it, you know, nothing salacious, but just, you know, for the people who you're still getting acquainted with Sarah. So like, we sit at the kitchen table. The first question is, what's your favorite snack? When you sit down, what is something that you crave?
Cake. Like, I don't eat snacks. Like, I eat food. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grown. I'm grown.
Say it again.
I'm grown. I want a piece of chicken. Is that a snack?
Yes.
Like, I want a whole piece of cake. I don't really do like chips and like nothing wrong with them. But you know that when I get hungry, I want something to eat.
Period.
Oh, you are a woman after my own heart.
I know, and I want to have your food, and I need you to go back to Torrance. Okay, I want to.
I will cook for you. Facts. It's happening.
I'm counting on it.
Wait, you're in LA, right?
I am.
I was just in LA. When I come back out, I got you.
Okay, let me know.
I will. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, sis. More questions.
What's the next thing you want to do with your hair? Is there a hairstyle that you are eyeing? Is there something
first
that you've seen recently that was
get into the stance.
First of all, I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, who has grown my edges back. I can't afford not to praise him. Don't let this wig fool you. I got a full hairline on this side and that side. I can never be confused. You know, I just want to keep deep conditioning, steaming, braiding it down, because there's a silk press ministry that God wants to give me, and it's hitting right below the shoulder. It's got a sling connected to it. Okay,
we're not gonna be able to use Sarah when this silk press manifests.
Oh no!
Let me tell you how God has been keeping me from follicles because of my humility, but He finally released them. But the other day, I took my braids out and my cornrows and my prison braids from this wig. And,
oh my God!
It was given shoulder length, and I couldn't wait to post the I Got Hair picture. I'm all in the picture, like head tilted, like, but you see it, because, you know, so I just want to continue to grow and evolve in that area.
I love the transparency. So basically, the next thing she wants to do with her hair is stun on you hoes. That's what it is.
I'm telling you. I love in basketball ponytail. Ever since I saw Monica with that ponytail, I've had dreams. And it's all right. Okay, next question. All right.
What's the last thing you purchased on Amazon?
You know, first of all, Amazon comes to my house at this point.
Every day.
I don't know. Some like a multi-strip cord. I bought Ella this Same. Little thing to hang from the ceiling, mm-hmm. just like an iPhone charger, mm-hmm. just random things.
Today I bought hemp wicks.
Because
to make
I see
candles.
One thing on Amazon and I'm like, yes, you're right. I need that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did you even know? It's prophetic.
it's a random shit in my cart. Mario Badescu, some hemp wicks to make candles.
I have that same spiritual leading in Target. I just be in Target listening to what the Lord is saying. Like, oh Lord, are you saying that I need this? You clearly
But are. Isn't Target right expensive here. Though? Like honestly, like I feel like it Amazon is cheap. Target is expensive.
I can walk out with three bags and spend $175.
Like what Very happened? Easily. And Very like, I know that you think you're better than Walmart, and in a way you are.
In a way.
But facts. Also stay humble. But right. Like, you're also not Macy's. So
no,
like
humble your wig, please. Maybe we need to take some of Target's edges, humble it just a little bit.
Not having edges will bring you down a bit. It'll change the way you show up in the world.
Toya will tell you, Kia's best friend Toya is the Dora Milaje, beautiful, bald-headed, black, just gorgeous. And everybody praises her and her gorgeous fucking head. And then you'll tell her and she'll go, bitch, I am bald because I did not have edges.
Listen,
I'm not here by choice.
Exactly. Right. We just thank God that
like,
even
but you're
I'm
here.
Circumstance is working.
Okay,
he
woman
rocks it.
Evolved.
He rocks it. Okay,
absolutely.
But all right, what's the last thing Sarah Jakes listened to on her Spotify?
Absolutely. We in the spirit because that was my question.
A Brené Brown podcast.
Okay. So what about music-wise?
So I did my podcast the other day and it was a DMX tribute episode. So I needed to run it back to Rough Rider days. Okay. You know, Eve's Love is Blind song, you know, she was really trying to help us have healthy love. She was in time. That's when we should have known that she wasn't going to have toxicity in her life because she was trying to help us out then. So
my
I had
girl
to run back to
with,
Friday.
I don't even know you, but I hate you.
Yes! This is exactly what I said on the podcast. I don't even know you, but I hate you. Oh,
yeah.
No, so good. So
Words
good.
To live my soul.
Thank you, Eve, wherever you are.
Somewhere lounging with her white man.
She's okay. Okay. Evolving. Somewhere evolved.
Somewhere evolving, woman.
sitting somewhere just being wealthy and unbothered.
And we love it.
Not mad at it.
We do love it. We do love it. I wanted to ask you really quickly, what's next? I know that you've done, the book, you're pushing the book. We need the book on the New York Times bestsellers list. If you have not purchased it, now is the perfect time for you to open a new tab on your phone, tablet, iPhone, iPad, PC, whatever you got. Open
and the link will be in the description box that y'all refuse to read.
Thank you for putting it there anyway.
Of course. Yes,
it's there anyway. So yeah, we're pushing the book right now. You have the book club, the app, the website, all of these things. Is there anything coming up that we need to be looking out for?
I was going to say that I want to go to bed, but my friend who is here said that I'm going to bed. No, honestly, I plan on resting and like taking a moment to like experience this time in my life. Because a lot of times we experience things post the actual reality. So I want to experience things. And then when I wake up from my nap, I would like to start a wig line so that I too can help bring back edges for those who are in need, like I once was. Glory, huh?
Wait, okay, so when you take your wig off and you stunt on all of us with these inches,
are
you going to name her the way that Tabitha has named her coif?
This is a good question. This is a good question.
And if you haven't, then I admonish you to announce it here first.
I don't have a name, but if I stumble across a name, and let me tell you something, I'm a little nervous to be this bold with it because you never know when God may take that got to be glued and just pull you back a little bit. But should I be able to stunt in the way that I believe God is calling me to do, I would like to come back and announce my hair's name on the podcast.
Okay.
At the kitchen table. Yeah.
And unveiling. That will happen.
We love it.
We're going to have Kaleidoscope's version of Sarah's drops.
Yes. Okay.
She's going to come. I would like to introduce you all to Sharita. Sharita is here to introduce
us. I like Sharita. My mother's name is Sharita. Are you a prophet? What happened before the show? I swear I did not know that. My mother's name is Sharita. We put that should in there. Something has happened. It feels good.
It sounds like should Rita. That's what we're going to do. Sharita, she's coming to introduce herself to the world.
I love
so excited.
Oh my gosh, you are amazing. We thank you so much. We know that you have had a long day, so we don't want to keep you, but we're just grateful to have you here to celebrate you. And I'm so glad that you said that you plan to take a nap. I hope before your nap that you sit and really sit with what you've accomplished, because it's amazing. And I know the amount of labor and time that you invest into all of us, those of us who glean so much and have an example of how to grow closer to God and grow stronger in who God has made us to be through you. So I want to thank you as friend. I want to thank you for all the ways that you supported me, and thank you for being here for me and Jade and to kick it with us around the kitchen table for a little while.
When the world opens back up and Woman Evolve is a conference again, I will be sneaking in Kia's duffel bag.
Come, we would love that.
I am. I won't smoke on the premises, swear.
Okay, that's all right. Come as you are, no matter where you
but
are.
There will be a bit of heathen in the building because I have invited myself. Thank you.
I would love it. I would love it if you come. I would count it as an honor. Thank you guys for what you're doing. We need your voices. We need this platform. So thank you for having me.
We love you for your transparency, Sarah. You speak to everybody, literally everybody, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Come on now. Go take a nap.
I will.
Y'all follow Sarah. Go get the book. Listen to Woman Evolve, the podcast, and join the movement, man. We're in the Bruce Hill Society. We just be stepping on the devil's head. That's what we do. Getting up out of here. And we also mind our business.
Amen. Most importantly.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Love you, sis. Thank you.
I love y'all. Thank you.
We love you.
Honestly, truly.
All right. We are back this week with an honesty box. Sis, would you like to give our listener a pseudonym?
Let's call her Letitia.
Letitia works. I love a Letitia. All right, Letitia writes, hello, ladies. So I've been listening to you all for a while now, and you've been there for me in my head through some of the toughest times, and I need your kind words now. Bless you. I am a lost soul who needs guidance. Aww. Oh, Letitia. Okay, so she says, so I quit a place back in November. It was extremely toxic and self-serving. The job that I quit it for ended up, okay, Letitia, girl, okay.
Just take your time. She's going through. We understand.
She's going through. You're right. So I'm going to take my time.
Right.
So I quit a place back in November. It was extremely toxic and self-serving. The job that I quit it for, I ended up getting fired. So I went back to the previous company, but in a different department and state. But of course, okay, nothing has really changed. But I definitely feel that I have. As of now, it would technically make my 3-year mark, and I honestly feel that being 28, I should at least be further than where I am, but that's not the case. I feel very stagnant and unfulfilled, and that is a really tough pill to swallow. I'm blessed to make a good living for myself, but I constantly feel like my mind is trying to convince me to stay, but my body is saying a completely different story and don't know which to listen to. My friends are telling me that I should stay to save enough money, but like I said before, my body is screaming loud as day to go somewhere else, and it's possible that God is trying to let me know something that I, of course, don't know. Before you start, I know that I shouldn't have went back to somewhere where I knew I wouldn't be happy. I just kept thinking about the money. Now that I'm typing, I think I know because I live in Dallas and the job market is booming right now. I wonder if I'm sabotaging myself. I know you ladies don't usually give what would I do in this situation, but I really want to know so I'm not alone. P.S. I'm sorry I tried to spell correct as much as possible, but it's been a long day.
She knew.
Oh, she wrote this drunk. Okay.
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 All right. Okay, so there's Go a ahead, little sis. There's a little overlap here. I just want to make sure I'm clear on the facts before I give my response. So Letitia was formerly fired from organization.
Letitia was it she was work no she quit to go work for somewhere else. She hated the job anyway. She went and she quit, and then when she got fired from that new job, she went back to the old job that was toxic. She said it was a toxic environment.
Okay, so she quit a job and then went back to a toxic job.
Mm-hmm. No. She quit the toxic job, went to a new job, got fired from the new job, and then went back to the original job that she quit.
Okay. Yes. Okay. This has been a journey. And so she wants to know if she should stay at the toxic place that she's returned to.
She says she knows she shouldn't have gone back in the first place. She's like, I know y'all are going to tell me. I shouldn't have gone back in the first place. She's like, and the job market is booming in Dallas. She wants to know if she's sabotaging herself. And she wants to know what we would do in this situation if it were us, even though we don't usually do that.
So I think that there is, like, the practical side of me is like, you know, I'm an adult and I need a job. I have to work. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, is this an ideal situation? No, but if it is a place where I can have income that I know that I can rely on, and, you know, even though it is in a less than convenient situation, mm-hmm. if I need, you know, I need to keep a roof over my head, I got to take care of myself. You know, I do what I have to do. I think I would just be mindful of, you know, making sure that this was of a temporary nature and not something long term. I would stay on the balls of my feet. I wouldn't even settle into my heels while I was at this job. I would be looking for, you know, the next best thing, and being diligent about not, and like kind of having boundaries and not falling back into, you know, being pulled back into the toxic culture of this place. Since you know for sure that it is toxic, there are things that you can do to kind of to safeguard from really getting pulled back into that toxicity. But yeah, I think the practical side of me is like, listen, we got to keep the lights on in here. So if this was a job, if this was the only option and this was a means of income for me, then let's do it. But I would just be super conscious of, you know, what's next. I would come in here knowing, I would go into that place knowing, hey, I'm only going to be here for 6 months tops, or 1 year tops, and I'm trying to find myself a better situation after that. So
I agree. That was the first thing I was thinking. She was like, before y'all start, I know.
I was like, before I should start, have gone like, back.
I'm like, no, baby.
Before I start, honey, we got bills. You before have you bills start, ain't nobody trying to be defaulted on your loans and everything else.
Toxicity. Literally not. I'm going to tell you what Getting Grown's not going to do. Go post the GoFundMe. We're not doing
you
should have gone back to have a job so that you could pay your bills. And like Kia said, don't get settled. Make sure to and if the job market's booming and you know it, maybe the message that you're receiving is, okay, well, I don't need to be complacent. Like, let me do what I need to do to take care of myself right now. But let me also do all of the things that I need to do to take care of myself, get my resume together, start getting it out there, network with the people that you know are in different jobs that you may want, you know, or maybe you have friends or other business connections that you can talk to. But start making moves for yourself to get yourself out of that position. Like Kia said, don't get comfortable in it. But you got to do what you got to do to pay your bills. Now, I am also a firm believer that when your body is screaming at you about something, listen to it. Right? Because that's not for naught. Like, your body is not telling you something. It's telling you, our bodies are indicators, and they tell us things that we don't necessarily always think. That's why we need to take our asses to the doctor and so forth and so on. So if you are really feeling the anxiety of this position, make the moves to get out of it. But we are never going to shame you for needing to pay your bills.
it's just like, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. And it just doesn't have to be for long.
Yes. I think one of the best advice that I received when I was working on my graduate degree was, you know, we putting in all of this work so that at the end of the day, you know, we will have options. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a certain kind of skill set, or when you have a certain kind of credential, or when you reach a certain level of experience and expertise in your career, you have more options such that you don't have to do things that you don't want to do. But it takes time for you to get to that place, right? And as such, many people, self included, have had to work jobs that you didn't like. Ooh, had to work jobs that were not fulfilling, that were not even safe for you, but you needed to do these things. And, you know, that season in your life served a purpose. So I'm not one to knock people for having to. Sometimes we have to make choices and we just have to do what's best for us. So listen, you needed a job and this is a job and now you're working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while you're there, though, you're not just going to stay there. You're going to, you know, get busy planning for the next phase of your life, for the things that you want and feel you deserve and are willing to work hard to earn. So yes, Letitia girl, just get your things ready and don't settle in. Don't bring none of your stuff from home into your office. Okay. Mm-hmm. Leave it very generic and bland because you're not staying there long. Okay.
No,
you're working there until you can get to the next thing.
Matter of fact, keep you a milk crate under your desk.
Yeah, so just have your stuff, honey.
When the time comes, you can just be out. Y'all don't need to get me no cake. Y'all don't need to do nothing for me. I'm out of here. Thank you so much. Mm-mm. Prayers down. So that's it for the Honesty Box this week. Letitia, please keep us posted on your job search
by all means.
How things are going for you. We are putting out good energy that you're going to find what you want. And at 28... I know I wasn't doing what I wanted to be doing. So
same.
So it's not like you're not on a ticking time bomb. Like, it's not, nothing's gonna blow up if you don't get out of there in the next week, you know. But for your own sanity, I would start looking for the next thing and just really make intentional moves in that direction. And that's what we got. Continue to send your Honesty Box questions to Getting Grown Podcast @gmail.com. And we shall move along to this Black woman self-care.
Let's do it.
I deserve
All right, it is Black Person Self-Care time, and we got an email and then I got a couple messages, so I wanted to clarify for my Black Woman Self-Care. A couple weeks back, I talked about some of my personal daily rituals that I do that have really been really beautiful for me, my morning tea and my evening tea. So I wanted to clarify specifically what was in the teas, and also clarify for some of the messages. They're not teas I purchase, so they're not from anywhere. It's a blend that I make. These are all dried herbs that you can get from health food shops. If you don't have any local, you can find them online. But it's all the dried herbs. The morning tea, write them down in this order.
My gosh.
Holy basil, yerba mate, orange peel. I put a little rose because I like rose. You don't have to. Chrysanthemum and lemon balm. Okay, all of those are dried. Blend them together. I store them in a mason jar. That is my morning tea blend. The evening tea blend. You should see Kia's face.
I am just listening. Okay.
The evening blend is holy basil, mugwort, and you got to kind of break that down like you do your weed, lavender, rose, catnip, and chamomile. So that's the morning tea and that's the evening tea. Those are the blends that I've been putting together. And then the morning tonic is astragalus root, which I put into, like, I make like a tea. So I do a little 2 ounces or whatever with some ginger, put it in a mason jar, and then I add a shot of that to a cap full of apple cider vinegar, a teaspoon of diatomaceous earth, which exfoliates the tummy, a tablespoon or two, depending upon how you're feeling, of sea moss. And if you want to make a little elderberry syrup and add a little bit of that, and I shoot all of that down, and then I have the morning tea, and in the evening I make the tea. So I just wanted to clarify my personal daily rituals for those who are asking for the recipes, or where I purchase the teas. They're just dried herbs that blend together. So that is a reiteration of my Black woman self-care. Kia, what is yours, sister?
Well, my tea still comes in a bag, and it's from Lipton.
That's all right.
And it does not contain all of the diatomaceous earth and the things that those chrysanthemums and those things that are in the garden. I don't think I have any of that, but it is delicious. And I will enjoy a cup of it from time to time. It is so good.
First of all, I love Lipton, so don't play. Listen,
okay, me I and my Dida. My Dida likes Lipton tea and the tea biscuits from Biscotti. I sit there and have some tea.
Oh, because they're delicious. When they pass them around the airplane, your girl gets hyped.
So good. So good. So, yes. My Black woman self-care is not as Mrs. Frizzle as Jay's is, but I love it. I really do love to see it because there's just, you get so much here. At getting grown, you know what I'm saying?
A wide range.
We love it. We love it. Okay, because Jade is over there making homemade teas,
and Kia is changing the world for Black children. Look, y'all go from the academia to cauldrons. It's a wide range of beautiful Black woman magic over here.
My Black woman self-care is not fancy, but it's very important, and it made a huge difference in my weekend. As you all know, I'm back to getting my nails done, right? So I'm very grateful about that.
Let me see them.
Oh,
I liked that.
Thank you. So I got my nails done on Friday. Shout out to Felisa. If you follow me on Instagram, you know exactly who that is because I tag her every time I post my nails. But I unfortunately came home Friday and was eating or doing something and realized that one of my nails that I just gotten done had chipped. And I reached out to Felisa and she said that I could come back the very next day and get my nail fixed. And I prioritized and made that happen because, you know, it was very important to me, to my self-care. And I know we talk about how self-care is more than nails and massages and things like that. But if it is
also nails and massages,
it is also things that make you feel good about yourself and about your day, I had a lot of anxiety this weekend, just making sure that I just make, as I write, I want to do well. And I put so much pressure on myself that sometimes I can make myself like feel physically ill because I'm just so filled with anxiety around producing something that is of high quality. And so, me just going to get my nail fixed was really one of the only times that I just, you know, let everything go and just sat there and, you know, let somebody do something that was going to, you know, make me feel good, about myself. So I just, you know, I got my nail fixed and it helped me to kind of manage my stress and anxiety during a stressful weekend. And so, yeah. And also it was National Siblings Day and I got to wear, I bought a t-shirt. There's a company called Heartthrob Access or something. Mm-hmm. And they make, t-shirts and sweatshirts and other sort of novelty items that you can wear in honor of loved ones that have passed. And so I ordered a sweatshirt from them that I absolutely love. And I wore it, on Saturday to honor my brother for National Siblings Day. So these are my Black women self-care things and I feel good about them.
I love that. And the sweatshirt was very dope, sis. Very, very dope.
I love it. It's a really juicy blue. So shout out to them.
It is. And you know, that is one of my favorite colors. And that was Brian's favorite color.
It was.
So, I love that. Continue to sit. We've been getting some of your Black person self-cares and I'm putting them together for a self-care extravaganza. So continue extravaganza. To sit. Extravaganza. There's no Zolas being won, but it will be an extravaganza. So continue to send your Black person self-cares over to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com so that we can get that going. I want to read everything that y'all have been doing and we want to do it in one big boom.
For sure.
So now we're going to get a little negative before we close out and head over to these petty peeves.
Let's do it.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. My petty peeve is, you know, for myself, right? You know, so I sometimes you have to get yourself together. You have to realize and recognize the things that you are doing that are not serving yourself. And sometimes you got to get your own self out the way. Okay. And I went on, you know, I recognize that, and, you know, you follow a bunch of people on social media and then sometimes you got to go through and purge, right? Because you follow somebody for one reason and then you realize that the content and the things that they post about themselves and about their lives don't really, you know, do anything for you. Sometimes it even gets on your nerves. And I had a moment over the weekend and I said, Takiya, you following a gang of people that you don't even like. So what you going to do? What you gonna do is ready your block hand, honey, and get to blocking. I mean, because it just needs to happen. I mean, a wop, bop, blue block, a block, bam, boom, all over my social media. Because I recognize in my own life, I have spent a lot of time just trying to be associated with people or being connected to people, wanting people to like me, wanting people to acknowledge me, wanting people to validate that I am important and I do important things and I'm, you know, all of that. And, you know, when I really get down to the meat of the matter, I realize, I said, self, you don't like these people. And they don't like you. So why are you doing this unto yourself every day? Every time you see they post, you roll your eyes, you do all of this kind of stuff. And so I said, sis, just get them out of here. And that is what I did. And I'm sure it was petty, but that's where we are.
Well, that's how
and I felt better. So. I felt better for doing it. So
now you don't have to see it.
Now I don't.
Meanwhile,
have
my
to
little cousins
it.
Are accosting me. When I tell you accosting me, all right, you know what? My petty peeve was something different, but that's what I'm going to make. It's going to be for my little cousins. Because my cousin put me on a FaceTime. When my uncle passed, you know, there was a couple family members that got together. The vaccinated ones got together. And so my cousin FaceTimed me because I was not local and passed me around after I told every single one of them niggas how irresponsible they were. I, you know, said my hellos and my I love yous. And then a gaggle of the young ones decided to get on and tell me that I think I'm too good to follow them on Instagram. And the only response I said, are all of you all, can everybody hear me? Everybody who has something to say, all of you all hear me on this thing? I don't give a fuck about social media. Right. I didn't even know you little niggas followed me. While you in your feelings thinking I'm sitting over here going, I am actually not even thinking about it whatsoever. So it's just for y'all. Stop putting them, but they're like 12, 18, 20 years old. Like they're, you know, that's their life right now. So I said, okay, everybody send me a text message and tell me what your little funky ass handles are. So while you were sitting down blocking and getting niggas out of here,
you were following.
I had to go and literally look these niggas up and follow them to shut up.
The blessing of that is, you know, God gave us a mute feature as well.
And you think I didn't use them simultaneously?
I mean. Okay? It's really a gift. Because sometimes it's that you don't even want to get people out of your timeline forever. Right? It's just like, today, I don't want to hear what you got to say.
For a taste.
You know? I just need a break. I could use a week or two without you in my newsfeed, sis. And it's no love lost because I still love you down. Period. Oops. And I say this fully acknowledging that a lot of people probably get me out of here for 7 to 10 days of a month. And awesome. I'm fine with it because I sometimes get on my own nerves. So I understand. I do. But those are our petty peeves for the day, for the week. We want to thank you. We want to, again, yes, thank Sarah Jakes for stopping by the kitchen table to chit-chat with us for a little while.
Always.
It was a pleasure. It was a joy. She's welcome at the kitchen table with anytime, a meal, right? Because she said, we don't really do snacks. When we come to the kitchen table, we come to eat, period. And that's
which
what
we're is really going, the mood that we're in.
Which here is exactly. And so, again, thanks, everyone, for everything. And I love you. And Jay, tell the people what they need to be doing with themselves.
I too love you. Some of you. And I, so what I want you to do with yourselves is drink your water, hydrate your innards.
Yes.
Also please moisturize your outards. Nobody very, has very time important for your gray knees. Nobody wants to be looking at the Gross Sisters all of their days. And lastly, please mind your black ass business. It's unless important you are snitching on a white woman, which is one of my new favorite pastimes. but outside of that, mind yearn, because your black will crack if it's dry.
And nosy. Goodbye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.